If you open your Bibles to Psalm 86, we're on Psalm 86 today. Now, this psalm is a little more difficult to interpret than some of the preceding ones, but it's now a psalm of David. It's actually a prayer of David. The psalms of Asaph have ended, and we're back to David again. And it's one of those psalms where he prays basically for deliverance from his enemies. And so it has that certain general trend or general thought throughout. And so there's not a whole lot to say on it other than that. One distinguishing feature it has is that the name of God used in the psalm, well, it's not exclusively used, but used seven times, is Adonai. And in your English Bible, or most English editions of the Bible, you'll see this distinguished from the other name for Lord. It's translated, or written, I should say, into the English with a capital L, and then the rest of the letters are in small case. When you see that in your Bible, then it's Adonai. When you see Lord spelled out in uppercase, all uppercase letters, then it's Jehovah, Yahweh. Unfortunately, we don't get the meaning of Yahweh or Jehovah in our English Bibles. In the French Derby Bible, Jehovah, or what we see in our Bibles as Lord, all uppercase letters, is translated as the Eternal, and that's the proper translation of the name. But in Psalm 86, we get Adonai seven times brought before us, which is a picture, or not really a picture, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his divine name in sonship, or in manhood. That's the lordship of Christ, really. That's what it means. The Adonai means supreme master. So it's the divine lordship of Christ in manhood. You know, he's been exalted as man and has seated at the right hand of God. We see that in Psalm 110, for example. If you just turn in your Bibles to Psalm 110, this is helpful in understanding these two names. We get in verse 1 of Psalm 110, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And you see the first Lord is all uppercase. Well, that's Jehovah, Yahweh, the Eternal One, the ever-living, eternal God, who's in covenant with his people. "Said unto my Lord," that's Adonai, that's the supreme master, the supreme Lord in manhood, the Lord Jesus Christ, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make my enemies, thine enemies, thy footstool." The Lord Jesus quotes this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, I believe, in reference to himself. That is, he is Adonai, and that means that he's a divine person. Only the divine person can sit on the throne of God. He is the Lord. He is the supreme master. And Yahweh says to Adonai, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." So that just gives us a little idea of the name. It occurs seven times in this psalm. And the only other psalm that we get it Adonai seven times, I believe, is Psalm 68. Now, I could be wrong on that, but as far as I can remember, it's only Psalm 68 and Psalm 86, funnily, that we get the name Adonai seven times. And then we get this prophecy in verse 9, "All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord," or "O Adonai, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." You see, here we see that Adonai is God, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a prophecy looking forward to the time in the future when all nations will come up and worship before the Lord in Jerusalem. Now, this has never been fulfilled at all. The fact that the gospel is going out to all nations and people are being saved from among all the nations, and that every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation will be represented before God through the blood of the Lamb, we see that in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, is not the full fulfillment of this. Let's put it that way. We see a little forerunner of this in Matthew chapter 2, you know, when the Magi came up, the wise men from the east, and they brought gifts to the Lord of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's a little forerunner of that the nations, those that represent the nations, will come up and worship before the Lord. I might say also, add this, as far as that scene in Matthew 2, it says they came to worship him. They bowed before him. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't bow before Mary, but they worshiped him. That is the Christ child. But in a future day, all the nations will come up to Jerusalem to worship. We get that in Zechariah, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, that is left over after the battle of Armageddon, which came against Jerusalem in that battle, the battle of Armageddon, shall even go up year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now we know this Lord of hosts here is Yahweh, but it's also the Lord Jesus. He's also Jehovah as well as Adonai, and we get this throughout Zechariah especially, because we see that Zechariah says that Jehovah will stand upon the Mount of Olives. And then we get that his coming in chapter 14. We get Armageddon brought before us in chapter 14. And verse 9 it says, and the Lord will be king, Jehovah will be king over all the earth in that day, and his name shall be one. Speaks of his coming with the saints in verse 5. But in verse 4 we have him on the Mount of Olives, standing upon the Mount of Olives. But then in verse 16, all the nations will come up and worship before him at the Feast of Tabernacles. So that's basically all I would have for this psalm. It's fairly simple in that way. Although I have Mr. Darby's synopsis here, and I just want to read the last paragraph because he touches on some of these things. And I actually recommend Darby's synopsis, his comments on the psalms. They're very helpful, especially the introduction to the psalms. Some of his writing style can be a little difficult for some, but if you plow through it, you'll gain a lot. Now, I just want to read this paragraph. He says, it is to be remarked that, save the cases noticed, the Lord is Adonai, not Jehovah. This is not the same as Jehovah, that is, the covenant name of God with Israel in eternal faithfulness. Here it is Adonai, one who has taken power and is in the relationship of lordship to those who call. Hence, in fact, we own Christ to be in this place, our Lord Jesus Christ. When we say our Lord Jesus Christ, we're calling him Adonai, that he's our supreme master. He's the Lord. And so it will be for the Jews, though till they see him, they will not own him fully in this way. This Adonai is Elohim, he's God. Death and human power were before the thoughts of the godly here, but the comfort of a known Jehovah as a support. They had found deliverance, but it was not complete in blessing. The psalm is essentially the pious appeal to Jehovah of the returned remnant of Israel in the last days in the land. But in the main, its spirit is that into which Christ has fully entered, but is not directly applicable to him. So the prophecy here is not directly applicable to Christ, but only relationally so, in connection with the remnant. Well, I commend the psalm to your reading, and as we continue on, we're making progress in our study through the Psalms. May the Lord bless you as you ponder its prophetic contents. Amen.